The word of God that engages us is from the lesson just read, specifically Amos 7, verse 14, where Amos tells Amaziah, "I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet." In its big cat country, the St. Louis Zoo and Forest Park has one of the biggest lions I've ever seen. His name is Oba, that's spelled O-B-A. And let me make this as clear as possible. If there's a fight that breaks out, I'm on Oba's side. Why, Oba is almost 500 pounds, has a huge mane and enormous claws. In weather like this, my three children just love the Penguin Puffin Coast, where the median temperature is about 55 degrees. My wife, Lisa, just can't get enough of those gentle giraffes. But me, I like Oba, as long as Oba is in his cage. Panthera leo for Latin lovers, king of the beasts for nature lovers, behind bars for lovers of life. Oh, I know, you probably read National Geographic. You understand that Oba should be free, probably romping through Forest Park, bringing down squirrels and rabbits. But who on this campus wants to wake up to a lion alert? Who among us wants an up-close and personal visitation from Oba? Not me. Not me at all. For me, Oba must remain in his cage. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. Amaziah, the priest at Bethel, is actually making a very nice living keeping the lion in the cage. Only this lion's name is Yahweh. Amos 1, verse 2, Yahweh roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. Amaziah has a policy, and his policy is exactly this: no lion alerts. Whatever the cost, whatever the compromise, this lion Yahweh must never be out of his cage. In fact, Amaziah knows that whoever comes along and rattles cages and opens cages must be sent out of Dodge immediately. Enter one Amos, a shepherd, a picker of sycamore fig tree fruit from the little out-of-the-way village called Tekoa. Lion alert, lion alert. Call 911, because through Amos, Lion Yahweh is roaring. Amos 2, 6, for three sins of Judah and for four, Yahweh says, I will not revoke my wrath. Amos 3, verse 2, you only have I known from all the families of the earth, therefore I will judge you for all your sins. Amos 5, 18, woe to you, death to you who long for the day of Yahweh. It will be a day of darkness and not light. Amos 5, 21, I hate, I despise a religious feast. I cannot stand your assemblies. Amos 6, woe to those who are at ease in Zion, who do not grieve over Joseph's ruin. This is not Elijah's still small voice. This is no gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is no tame little putty cat. Amos 3:8. The lion has roared, who does not fear? Lord Yahweh has spoken, who cannot but prophesy? No wonder Amaziah confronts Amos and says, get out, you seer. Return to your land of Judah. eat your bread there and prophesy there. When interpreted, Amaziah is telling Amos, look, pal, this place is not big enough for the two of us. So get out of my face, you fig-picking shepherd boy, low-wattage prophet wannabe. My motto is tolerate. Let sleeping dogs lie. I long to cooperate, so to all radicals I say bye. You got to hand it to Amaziah. He's a pretty slick salesman. He's pretty good at marketing techniques. In fact, in Amos 7, verse 11, when Amaziah reports to his boss, Jeroboam ben Joash, what's going down in Bethel, did you notice that Amaziah avoids the sticky issues of syncretistic worship and the perversion of justice and righteousness? Amaziah probably is in line for a raise, right? Jeroboam ben Joash probably loves this slick, running, religious institution. Sisters and brothers, don't be deceived. There is an Amaziah clone living in you and in me and in this institution and in the church and in the world. When interpreted, this means preach therapy, not theology. Look for more members, not maturing disciples. Be a Jay Leno stand-up, not a herald of Yahweh's word. And be content with religious cliches and jargon instead of burning, blazing truth. Our world, our sinful flesh, does everything it can to defang, declaw, and domesticate Lion Yahweh. 2 Timothy 3 puts it this way. But mark this, in the last days, there will be those who have the form of godliness, but deny the power. But living in the power. Amos dares to say in our text to Amaziah, I was not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. When interpreted, this means that Amos is saying, I'm not a paid religious professional to make pious pronouncements on public platforms. I can't be bought, compromised, deetered, diluted, or delayed. I will not back up, let up, or give up until I am preached up, prayed up, and stayed up. And why should this shock us? Amos stands in this long line of Hebrew prophets, like Moses, who dared to enter Pharaoh's court and utter Yahweh's word, let my people go. Nathan certainly put his ecclesiastical career on the line when he got in David's face and said, Atah Ish, you are the man. Elijah's called a troubler in Israel. Jeremiah daringly rewrites Yahweh's word that Jehoiakim had sliced and diced. And Daniel's dream of the night shatters Nebuchadnezzar's illusion of the day. Standing in this long line of Hebrew prophets is Israel's most radical prophet. You know, at one point he made a whip and overturned tables and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. At another point, this prophet dared to look at the power brokers of his day and say, you are like whitewashed tombs. Outside, you look great. Inside, you are full of dead men's bones. And standing before his priest, Caiaphas, this prophet dared to say, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Most High and coming in the clouds of heaven. This roaring lion is also the butchered lamb. His mighty roaring power is shown most perfect in his weakness. Jesus allows the Roman soldiers to march him along the Via Dolorosa as he shoulders the crossbar with blood dripping from his butchered back. Jesus allows these same Roman soldiers to strip him naked, shove him down, and pin him to wood with their tools of torture. Jesus allows the spit and the mocking without calling from his Father 12 legions of angels. You see, societies don't execute religious leaders that are likened to SpongeBob and Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers. But they do persecute and hate and despise those who shake false foundations to their very core. There, they said on that Friday afternoon, no more lion alert. He's crucified, dead, and buried. But, Revelation 5, verse 5, behold, adieu in the Greek, right? Look, be captivated, be mesmerized, adieu, the lion of the tribe of Judah, he has triumphed. There's nothing dead about this lion. Jesus' love for you is a roaring, fierce love, driven by nails, marked with scars, and crowned with thorns. Now, the book of Amos never gives us the conclusion of Amos versus Amaziah at the high noon corral. We don't know what happened. You go from Amos 7:17 to Amos 8:1, and Amos 8:1 through 3 is the prophet's fourth vision. So what happened? Let's just suppose, for the sake of supposing, Amos caved in. Amos gave up, gave in, went along just to be a good old boy. What would Amaziah and all those like him have said? Something like this. Welcome to the club, where our motto is, come weal, come woe, the status is forever quo. But let's just suppose that Amos didn't cave in, and Amaziah gave in. What would that have looked like? What would happen if Amaziah finally said, enough is enough. I am sick and tired of selling my soul on the altar of compromise. Let the lion loose. Amos and all of those like him would have responded this way. He would have raised his hand, made the sign of the Holy Cross, and announced to Amaziah what we hear every Sunday. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the spirit of Amos, indeed, by the Spirit of Jesus, let us stand and sing.